Good afternoon and welcome to Soundbites for Saturday, the 8th of October, 1994. This is Nick Francesco sitting in for Bob Smith, who, as far as we know, is still evading the police somewhere in the great Southwest. With me today will be the ever-popular Dave Enright, the sensuous and exciting Steve Ray, and the nearly presentable Dan Rossica of Max Last Stand. And, of course, you at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. That's the live voice line. You can also call Max Last Stand and get online directly by calling 346-5555 on Soundbites, your users group of the air. Join us, won't you? There's a case making its way through federal administrative channels that calls into question how much First Amendment protection certain bulletin board services are getting. College administrators across the country waiting for the final outcome of a Santa Rosa Community College case where two female students who had been insulted on a male-only bulletin board were paid $15,000 each, in addition to the male student who told them about the remarks. College is negotiating with the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights regarding changes in Santa Rosa's commuting policies that will penalize conduct contributing to a, quote, hostile, intimidating, or offensive educational environment. OCR rejected claims by the college that the remarks were protected under the First Amendment, saying the computer conference was not a public forum, but rather an educational program. The operator of a bulletin board called Baby Jones Locker has been indicted on federal copyright infringement charges because some of his subscribers posted or downloaded copies of software programs, including Lotus 123 and Norton Utilities. Unlike most other BBS prosecutions, the defendant was charged with criminal violation of copyright in addition to the more common wire fraud charge. AT&T says it is launching a nationwide network enabling ordinary people to send electronic servants scurrying through cyberspace using Telescript software. Sony Corporation will provide a handheld communicator to deploy agents on personal links. The service will initially target marketing efforts at TOMPs, that is to say, technologically optimistic, mobile professionals. That means us. Hewlett-Packard's challenge to IBM's AS400 MIDI computer line has drawn a quick response from Big Blue. Quote, we will meet or beat any offer as HP puts on a customer's table, according to a 7-page fact sheet distributed by IBM. This has been a brilliant move by HP to make a lot of noise about nothing you can get 40% off just for breathing, according to a Lehman Brothers analyst to the computer industry. At the Agenda conference recently, Microsoft Corporation CEO Bill Gates has acknowledged his company is working on an online service apt to compete with such oldies as CompuServe, and it'll be codenamed Marvel. Beyond that, however, he refused to give details on availability or content. Meanwhile, Microsoft's Exchange client server messaging project remains on schedule for beta testing in January, despite some reports to the contrary. Faster power PCs on the horizon. A 64-bit PowerPC 620 processor may be announced next month by IBM and Motorola. It'll promise dramatic improvement in speed and multi-processing capabilities over the current generation 601, 603, and 604 chips. The initial version of the 620 processor will run at 150 MHz internally and 75 MHz externally, according to sources close to IBM. The 604 model will run at 100 MHz when it ships in the fourth quarter of this year. Microsoft and Southwestern Bell are teaming up to providing movies on demand, home shopping, and regular phone service to 47,000 homes in Texas. This marks Microsoft's first alliance with a baby Bell. We turned down lots of trial opportunities because we didn't want to spend time writing code for hardware that wasn't deployable, according to Microsoft's Senior Director of Business Development. An alliance between Oracle Corporation and Lotus Development will enable users of Note software to access large Oracle databases easily and add a multimedia dimension to work sharing. Currently, Notes is not designed to handle lengthy video or large documents. Test essays written by hand are often scored higher than those submitted in word-processed versions, according to a study by the Educational Testing Service. When word-processed essays were converted to handwriting, and then vice versa, researchers found that the handwritten essays, word-processed versions, were scored higher than the originals, even though the content was exactly the same. One possible reason, of course, is that word-processed essays appear shorter and errors are much more obvious. Asynchronous transfer mode, the new sex symbol of the high-tech crowds, must still prove its viability as a business tool, according to a survey in this week's Information Week magazine. Two critical shortcomings to watch out for. ATM standards must still be negotiated and agreed upon, and some services, such as local network or local network connections, are not yet available from all commercial characters. However, ATM promises to free organizations forever from constraints imposed by geography. During Information Week, the bottom line is the promise that we're going to do real distributed computing without regard to where the users are. And that's this week's computer news. You're listening to Soundbites.
And thank you, Bob Smith, wherever you are. Welcome to Soundbites. You can join us online in many, many ways. Voice line 263-9994, 263-WXXI. You can call us on Mac's Last Stand at 346-5555, and a moderator will invite you into the Soundbites conference. You can get hold of us on America Online at Apple Cider, all one word. You can get hold of us via the internet at applecider@aol.com. You can get hold of us just about any way you like. If you're Paula, you can just drive into the studio.
Really?
So call in now. That's 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And before we go any farther, we have a big announcement about the computer show coming up in a couple of weeks. Dave, take it away.
Thank you, sir. We just want to make sure that folks know the computer show is coming up this October 25th, 26th, and 27th at the River Convention Center. And we have tickets right here at WXXI. If folks would like to call up and just leave their name and phone number after they're done with the show. We don't want to take it right now because folks are trying to get their questions fielded. But as soon as the show ends, if you want to call the board, they'll still take your name and a number. Or you can stop by here in the studio and pick up some tickets. They got them down at the front desk. We also have them available at Movie Mania, Accurate Technologies, and the Gem Lab on West Henrietta Road. So we can get tickets to you, folks. You just got to, stop down or swing by or whatever. We'll get them to you.
And remember, let me stress, if you're going to call here for tickets, that's a great idea. But please do not call for tickets during Soundbite. Wait until after the show. The same number, 263-WXXI, 263-9994, will work.
Yeah.
But do it after the show.
Esther has agreed to field those questions, our names and numbers. She'll write them down so that you can swing by and guarantee that you'll have a couple tickets or whatever you need. I mean, we literally got thousands of tickets to give away.
Except today, of course, because
yeah.
Today they're not open. But during the week, Monday through Friday, you definitely can come and pick up your tickets. And when you call in, you get to talk directly to the lovely Esther Vail yourself. How can you go wrong?
Really?
We should probably mention the show hours. Tuesday and Wednesday are 11 to 7. Thursday is 11 to 5. And they have a new restriction now that students will only be admitted on Wednesday from 3 to 5. Apparently, they're overrun with students in some other years. So
yeah.
Don't like to.
One other thing, I had a number of folks, and since Nick mentioned it, was the internet conferences coming up time frames. As soon as we find out that information, when the other classes and that are going to be made available, we get a schedule, we will let you folks know. Right now, at this point in time, I am not, I can't verify what classroom or what time frames these classes are going to be, but as soon as we find out, we can pass it on to you folks.
Yeah, I do know a little bit about it. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 1 to 2:30. One of those days, Tuesday or Wednesday, will be for business people. The other one, Tuesday or Wednesday, will be for tech heads. And then Thursday will definitely be the fun stuff you can do on the internet. I believe they're in the Highland Room, but we will get that information.
And what day are you doing, Nick?
Thursday.
All right.
Question.
One last thing before we get to the phones, I just want to pass on Ron with the Resource Unlimited. His bulletin board is switching. He just want to let folks know he's moving, and folks, phone company is giving him the usual, run around. But anyways, his phone number is 458-8402, is being changed to 235-6707, and 458-7775 is being changed to 235-7241. And that will be as of effective of next Wednesday afternoon.
And I'm sure that's online, so call.
Right.
Between now and Wednesday, and you'll get the numbers online. Let's get right to the calls now, and we take our first call on Soundbite. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Dave in Pittsburgh.
Hi, Dave, what's up?
I've got two questions for you. One is, when I got Smart Drive loaded in the default mode, and I try to format a 720K diskette and use it with the, send write files to it and so on, the disk is corrupted, and you check disk, and it says that the thing is basically all corrupted. You know, if I disable the drive A in Smart Drive, then it works okay. Is there some conflict or a version of Smart Drive that works okay with 720K cassette?
Yeah, but one of the problems with Smart Drive is that if you've got it set up to buffer your floppies and it has write buffering enabled, you may be taking the disk out of the drive before all the information is fully written to it. When it's write buffered, it waits a good 3, 4, 5, sometimes even 10 seconds
yep.
before it does the final write to the disk. It may well be that after you format a disk, if you wait another 10 seconds, you'll see the drive light go on again.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's one. Now, the other one is I set up a couple of my own computers, and I've used somebody else's computer who's running DOS 6.0 with... And they were obviously, well, I used FDisk from DOS 6.0 to set it up. And then I noticed, seems to be related to this, that when I run NAM, it tells me I only have 639K in DOS instead of 640K. And I was trying to use a program that would give me more memory in DOS because I have a program that needs more than 640K to run. That's nice. And I couldn't do it because it says that I don't have 640K in DOS, I only have 639. So it isn't that I'm trying to squeeze for the 1K so much, but what is going on? Now, if I formatted a floppy on a brand new system and so on, and then booted the system with the 639K, I would tell me that I have 640K, but it wouldn't recognize my hard disk.
There are several things going on here. First, 640K is the theoretical maximum. Some of that is always taken up by various drivers of different sorts. Programs like HiMem.sys and EMM386, any sort of TSR that you're running will take up some of that memory.
So I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking about in NEM, for example.
But I'm seeing just text memory, just seeing
639.
I'm wondering if that could be a virus.
Yeah, that's what I'm suspecting, is that it actually acts like a virus.
Have you run scan?
Yes, and it doesn't show anything. But the thing is that we're talking conventional total, not the conventional three. I don't care about
that. Oh, so your conventional total comes up 639.
Yeah.
Have you run a memory tester program?
Yeah, I ran MFT under CMM, the code CMM, and it says that 1K is there and it's free. But it's, it's pretty strange because...
Are you running anything like EMM386?
And then it says conventional memory ends at 639K to run MFT.
What happens if you just run MEM, M-E-M?
Well, that's easy. Then it just says...
639.
639 conventional total is 639, and then I've got some used and some...
Yeah.
It just sounds to me like you've got either some piece of hardware that's taking up 1K and off of a board somewhere in your system, or one of your device drivers is taking up that 1K.
Well, okay, it's just that I... took one of my systems and I created a DOS 5 set of boot disks where I told it that I didn't have a hard disk, and so DOS 5 installed the floppy,
right.
And rebooted the system with DOS 5, ran FDisk, and it told me I had 640K, then I upgraded to DOS 6.2, and I got my 640K on that one system, but I had to lose everything on the hard disk in order to get that.
It may be that DOS 6.2 is taking some extra memory. I don't...
I've seen this on a couple on four systems now. It's on 6.0.
Yeah, honestly don't know what to tell you about that.
Right.
It may well be that the newer version of DOS is actually taking up some memory up there for something.
Maybe that was one of the features that they had to fix, and that's why they did 6.2 too.
Yeah, that could be. In other words, you don't know of a virus out there.
No. Not a 1K virus.
That's
using up that 1K in 6.0. Like you say, that could be one of the flaws that wasn't DOS 6.0.
Dan has a suggestion. Buy a Mac. Nice, Dan.
There you go. I think that's the answer.
I could only learn to do this one.
All right. No, I'm sorry. I don't know of anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Now, we're going to go right on to our next call now, and it's the lovely Scott Peters.
Hey.
Who'd like to tell us something about Frog being at Egghead. Go, Scott.
That's correct. I'm here at Egghead Software with Deborah and the rest of the guys of the crew. And we have a special guest here today. We have Click, the same famous team Click and Double Click, which we'll be able to see at the Rochester Computer and Convention Show.
Perfect.
Yes. So those of the folks who would like to meet him and have some technical questions, he would be more than happy to answer them.
Perfect. And your folks are at Egghead until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes, that's right. We have the folks from Symantec here as well. So anybody has questions about that software, they're more than happy, welcome to come along also.
And
let them know the store will be open past 2 o'clock.
Of course. And let me personally convey a happy anniversary to Egghead in general.
Yeah, same here.
I think that's great. 10 years, very cool.
Nope, Deborah says thank you.
You're welcome, Deborah. We'll see you all soon.
All right. Well, we'll see you all when you get here.
Thanks.
Okay, drop by then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And let's go on to our next caller. Hi there. You're on the air with Soundbite.
Hi, next to start.
Art, how are you?
Good. I just upgraded the PC dot to 6.3.
Mm-hmm.
It now has a fast swapper that I am trying to use. I think I'm doing it right. I load Fox Pro, runs fine. When I do the Alt Escape and load WordPerfect, all of a sudden I get WordPerfect, but then I can't get out of it, and it locks things up, and I eventually get a message that says overflow, divide overflow.
Divide overflow. That's usually because of the path statement.
In other words, the path statement is correct.
Well, no. Sometimes the path statement can get confused and be too long. It's only allowed 128 characters. If you go over 128 characters, I've seen that pop up. But sometimes it can get an erroneous, what it thinks is all over the path statement length, and it's really not.
You can extend your environment when you load command.com out of config.sys.
Yeah.
You can type a /E:// and put in a number like 512 or 1024, and then you get a much bigger environment space. So that takes memory out of your 640K.
Right.
It may also be that WordPerfect, you might want to talk to the folks at WordPerfect. I know they're not a free call anymore.
Yes, they are.
Are they still?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you got to have your registration.
Oh, yes.
Actually, for a full 6 months after the first call for help, if you buy the program, don't need any help, and then call them 2 or 3 months after you've gotten the program, that's when the meter starts. You still have 120 days beyond that.
Right. But you might want to give them a call and find out if there's something special that you have to do, because the task switcher in PC DOS 6.3 is new, and therefore it may be that there's a patch available from WordPerfect. God knows every time you turn around there's a patch available from WordPerfect.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you may have to do that.
That's what I'll give a try. Now WordPerfect 6.0 is a big program.
So. Yes. Hmm.
Which one is it? I mean, any of them now out there, minimum, I think, is what, 15 meg?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and this is 6.0b, which is the latest DOS version.
Right.
And, okay.
You may find it's a graphics problem. That are you doing it in graphics mode or text mode?
Well, it's in text mode when it comes up, but I switch back and forth a lot, and it may be that, again, it's confused somewhere.
Exactly. It may well be the problem with the graphics mode.
Well, give it a try.
Okay, Bill, thanks.
Thanks for your help.
And give us a call at 263-WFXI, 263-9994. We've got an online question. Dan, take it away.
Sure. We've got Derek, one of our window users with MacOS 10, and he's calling in. He wants to know, why did Microsoft release their book about Windows 95 while the actual software was delayed by many months?
Well, I think I read the same article as he did, and they're just trying to get folks ahead of the game because a lot of the features and functionality aren't going to change. How they work, well, right now smoothing that out is why the beta testing is going on, but a lot of it, the front end face of it, is going to be what it is now and on down the road. So that's not going to change, and they're just trying to enlighten you on it, because we're going to have that menu bar now across the bottom that you can sit there and put things on your desktop, and it'll go along that bar. Various things, even within the file manager, are going to stay the same, not only now, but once Windows 95 comes out. That's one other thing Paula brought up, though, is because I was asking about Windows versions, you know how they go Excel 5, Word 6.
Right.
Well, what they might go to, and she didn't officially say this, but like they're going to Windows 95, it would probably be Word 95, Excel 95.
Well, I have to say, Dave, that that was the party line right down the center of the groove. I'm very impressed by that. That was unbelievable. Let me give you the other end of the possibility. Windows 95 is now, what, 2.5 years late?
Yeah.
So one of the things they're doing is attempting to keep excitement up. It's very hard to keep people's excitement up when a product is 2.5 years late. So by putting out the book with lots of sexy pictures and all this neat stuff, they keep you excited in a product that you won't see for another 9 months.
Well, like we were discussing in yesterday's show, and I want to put Paula to the mic, saying, you know, I think Bill Gates is really worried that when this product comes out, it's got to be as rock solid as DOS 5 was.
That's right.
It has, because it's going to be such a paradigm shift that all it takes is a few folks say that Windows 95 trashed their system, and that how many Steve did they say? 40?
They're projecting 40 million in, and that's what they say, 30 million new shipments and 10 million upgrades.
That 40 million will probably go down to about 4 million.
That's right.
With a little bad press.
The other thing is that he's also trying to take focus away from the bad press that NT has been getting. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be the great white hope of Microsoft, and now it's going to be Windows 95, and if that doesn't work, it'll have to be Daytona.
Well, see, by naming it Windows 95, they now have 14 months in which to ship it.
That's exactly right. As long as it's out by December 31st, Happy New Year! Windows 95 is on the market.
With that, though, one other truth I'd like to pass on to folks I just read about is a lot of folks are getting machines right now with workgroups for Windows loaded on it.
Yep.
And say you got a home system and it doesn't have a network card in it.
Right.
To speed it up, just put win/N. It won't look for the network card and take less time for the software to load.
Exactly right. There's also a TSR that loads in config.sys called IFSHLP.sys. And if you take that out, it won't look for the network card either. Let's go on to our next call here on Soundbite. Hi there, you're on the air.
Yes, Kurt the Webster.
Kurt, how are you?
I'm okay.
What's up?
Oh, I was thinking about starting a business in the computer service area.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there's any insurance companies in Rochester that sell, like, malpractice insurance for computer service.
We'll turn that over to our computer service guy.
Now that you've mentioned that, somebody's going to think to sue their computer service rep for not fixing your equipment.
Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. No, because you just basically got to have a disclaimer that, you know, when they bring a system in, I mean, you'll do the best to back the stuff up, but their data, they're responsible for backing up.
Okay. Well, the whole idea behind this company was not so much working with the system in return. It was more helping people start their system up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if somebody messed up the system. Like, if that's possible.
Oh, yeah, it's possible. It happens all the time. And like I say, the best protection for you, and with any systems that come into my shop, the first thing we do is sit there, especially if it's loaded with data, is I sit there and do a tape backup and a backup to another portable hard drive. I got my butt covered 2 ways from Sunday.
Okay.
So if something happens and all of a sudden it mucks up, which it probably will, one way or another, because things happen like that, Murphy's Law, I've got myself covered.
It's the standard ounce of prevention.
Yep.
Which you have to have before you can go anywhere.
You got to do that, you know, and it's only in your own best interest. Plus, sometimes, because you can throw it back onto the client, I mean, sit there and say, well, you've got a backup, right? But I meant to. Well,
right.
Gee, you know, you should do backups. I mean, you can sit there and question them, too, that they've got all their data backup. That should be your first question to them. Whether you do it or not, it's your business, but to cover your own butt and maybe be a savior because you did, back it up for them. Because I've had machines come in, and all of a sudden the hard drive will die. And it's like, oh, no problem. We can put it in and go for it.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely my pleasure. We got a call from Scott, who says they're also handing out computer show tickets at Egghead, so stop down there. We're going to go to a long-distance call now. Hi there. You're on the air with Soundbites.
Howdy. Actually, this call is more of a, just a general, I need to get something off my chest.
Do it.
Your call, your discussion about Windows being 2.5 years late just sort of torqued my gears. I got, I work as a software test engineer for a major local, actually it's an international company that has a local office.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drives me crazy because I see it all the time. We get, you know, these marketeers that are just screaming about, well, we got to get the market. And then development runs into a problem, and, you know, you don't want to release garbage.
That's
you
got it.
Right. You can ship it on time. You can ship it good. Pick one.
Yeah, you know, yeah, basically. Right. And, you know, last night, actually, I was at the office until about 2 a.m. We were testing a system, and I managed to trash it so badly. And this thing's supposed to ship in about 6 weeks. We couldn't even get... It's a multiprocessor system. It's not, you know, true PC kind of stuff. So,
right.
But it, I mean, it's, I mean, we couldn't even get it to boot.
Right.
Afterwards. I mean, and the marketers are going to try and sell it anyway. You know?
That's the problem. There's always this push-pull kind of thing between the folks who are actually down and dirty writing the code and the folks who are trying to sell the thing out into the marketplace. It's very tough competition between those two.
And not only that, though, but I've got a client... it's talking the same vein as you. Hardware-wise, NEC came out with 2 months ago an ad about upgrading their VersaLite systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I've been trying to get the part from my vendors, and forget it. They tell me now mid-October, if I'm lucky. But this guy has said, well, it's in the newspaper. It's in all these ads. I want it.
Yeah, and take a look at some of the video cards that are coming out. They've got stuff soldered onto the back of the boards, wires running everywhere. But I absolutely agree with you. I write software myself. Luckily, the stuff that I write is not external, so I don't really worry about.
I think the biggest problem is that the companies just don't understand how to manage a creative process like writing software.
Well, you know,
some of the problem also is people not realizing that like in monthly magazines, ad copy usually has to be in the magazines 4 to 5 months before the cover date. So if a company thinks they're going to have a product on the market in 5 months, we better put the ad now so when it is available, we can sell it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if something happens and it slips a month or two, then you've got millions of angry customers.
Yep. Yeah.
I also wonder, though, if it isn't also marketing that'll sit there and throw it out there to see what type of interest, to see whether they
gear it up too. See, that happens much too often. That happens
whether
much too
often. They're going to gear up on it, whether they've got a good product. I still say Microsoft did that with Profit.
Yep.
They tried to get it out there with Profit, saw it wasn't doing very good. So they bailed out and sent it back to Great Lakes. Yeah.
But it's amazing because I see developers who are working their silly butts off, and I mean really, really
amen to that.
And trying, but there are, I mean, this, some of this stuff is cutting edge stuff, and you know sometimes you can't rush the creative process.
I mean, you didn't get your walk on water degree when you took that job?
Yeah. Well, I walk on water only because I can turn the problems back to the development group. So
yeah, there
you have your grounding wrist strap on while you're walking on water.
Right, exactly.
And the other part of the problem is that everybody's now using C++ and things like that, and there aren't as many tools or as good tools out for that, and it's very hard to manage a huge project when nobody really understands the ramifications of the product.
Oh,
well.
Man. Amen to that.
It's the truth. I mean, it's impossible to manage a product like that.
We work in three different operating environments, and the labs that I work with are one's here in Rochester, one's in Ottawa, and one's in Montreal. And, I mean, we've got 7 different communications protocols in the system. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. It's
ridiculous.
And then people are trying to say, well, it's going to be out next January. This week in January, I'm like, yeah, all right.
And cows fly.
The other part of the problem is that people see a shareware, and the instant that it's announced, it's available.
Right.
Well, sure, one guy works on it in his living room, does it in fourth or in C or something, he doesn't care, and he puts it out, and he doesn't even tell people about it until it's there.
Right.
And so people say, well, I mean, look, if this guy's shareware, shouldn't a big company be able to do the same thing? It's very hard. Thank you very much for that point of view. I appreciate it.
Letting me vent.
No, it's a pleasure.
Hey,
thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And you too can vent, or even call into the question if that's your preference at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. We're going to go online for our next call. Take it away, Dan.
Great. We got Ray from, we have Ray calling in from a Mac user with Mac Last Dan. Ray's question is that he logs on to Mac Last Dan as well as AOL frequently. He very often sees a SIT or a SEA after the name of a file. What does that mean when he downloads it?
It's a very common question on both platforms. When you download a file from a bulletin board, probably 100% of the time it's going to be compressed so that it takes less time to download and then you're charged less for that time. On the Macintosh side, there are several common compressors. SIT is a compressor called Stuff It. We like to have cute names.
Yeah, I like that little wheat, that little wrench that comes down to stuff in it.
Yep. The other common extension is CPT, which is Compact Pro. An SEA file is a self-extracting archive. It's the old chicken and egg syndrome. How do you download your decompressor without having a decompressor? So the SEA is a self-extracting archive. You just double-click it, it automatically decompresses. There's a free program out called Stuff It Expander, which is put out by the same company that does Stuff It, that will decompress pretty much everything on the market. And it's fully drag-and-drop compatible, so you take your compressed archive, drag it onto the Stuff It Expander, and it automatically decompresses it. If you add the shareware Drop Stuff with Expander Enhancer, which is a nice long name, the Expander Enhancer also adds support for common IBM formats like ZIP and ARC, and I think it even adds ZU, which are our common compression formats on the IBM. So you can pretty much decompress anything you need to.
Right. The same thing is true on the PC side. ZIP is very popular. You can use a program called pkunzip or pkzip to decompress that. ARJ, A-R-J. There are a couple of other ZOO, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Some of the older ones that have right. Passed by. In fact, Stuff It was written by a 15-year-old high school kid many years ago and virtually overnight became the standard for Macintosh compression.
Yeah, he's
software.
Now a 30-year-old multimillionaire.
Well, he basically it started out of shareware, and he sold the program to a commercial company so he could go to college and try to learn things. which he probably knew more than he needed to already.
All right. Okay, before we go back to the phones, a caller has called in wanting to know when my show is. Okay, it's
shameless
plug time.
Got to,
thank
got
you,
to.
Anonymous caller.
You'll be home at 11, anyway.
Yeah, right. I am currently doing a theatrical performance. It is called Do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up? It's a musical comedy about growing up Catholic. If you have ever been a Catholic, currently are a Catholic, or even know a Catholic, you will love this show. It's very funny and very enjoyable. I play a priest, so you get to come and see me and get close to it this time. That's at the Theater Arts Playhouse, 2106 5 Mile Line Road in Penfield. The phone number is 383-9060. The tickets are only $8. It's Friday and Saturday for the next couple of weeks. Come down and see the show. I guarantee you will get a laugh.
At what time?
8:30 is curtain. It is not dinner theater. It's just theater. And let's go back to the phones. It's 263-WXXI. Hi there. You're on the air with Soundbites.
Hi. This is Chuck from Greece.
Chuck, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Peachy. Thanks.
Well,
what's
I know you're fine. I've been listening to you.
Thanks.
The reason why I'm calling, it's in response to one of your earlier callers, the one who has the boot sector virus.
Yeah.
What I encountered last fall, exactly what he is describing, and McAfee identified what I had as a boot sector virus. I believe it was called Monkey, but I could be wrong on that. And the symptoms that he described are 100% consistent.
Oh.
One, this thing installs itself in the upper 1K of memory, and it takes it away from you. And it prevents you from using the DOS memory extender that will, give you the 700-odd K. It prevents that, and let me see, what else does it do? If you boot from a floppy, you are prevented from accessing the C drive, and I think those three are things that he mentioned.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the cure, of course, he may have a different variety of a boot sector virus, but I'm pretty sure, it's 100% consistent. And some of the utilities that will, like the PC Tools or Norton or whatever, that will rebuild the boot sector may get rid of it. My own experience is, and this is a generalization, is that figure on losing everything. But I think he can back up his data, even with that virus present.
Well, but then wouldn't the virus go along with the backup and reappear?
Yep. Well, it depends. Depends on your backup method. If you're backing up the floppies, it would probably get copied onto the floppy. Mm-hmm. If you're backing up with tape, I don't believe it'll get copied onto the tape.
And I wouldn't be sure of that. Yeah. You might want to try running the newest version, Max. I think it's 2.01 now. But thanks, Chuck.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
Let's go right on to our next caller now. Hi there. You're on the air with Soundbite.
Hi, Nick. This is Dean in Rochester.
Hi, Dean. Welcome.
How are you, sir?
Peachy.
For that young man who asked before about insurance for starting up his business.
Right.
I just make a suggestion that what he really needs is general business liability insurance. And you'll find the cost is extremely high going to just a general agent here in Rochester, about $1,500 for 6 months for $1 million coverage. And yet there's a company called Michigan Millers, M-I-L-L-E-R-S, Mutual Insurance Company, that will sell you the same kind of policy for about $300 a year.
Great.
For a whole year. So it's a great price and a great great business liability company. And just it's in the phone book, in the Rochester phone book, they have a listing.
Michigan Millers Mutual.
Yeah. And they're terrific. I mean, they're a very good company, and they'll give you certificates of insurance, the whole bit. You know, and most independent agents can probably arrange it for you. But if you just go in and ask for business liability insurance, the price is extraordinary.
Yeah, I bet it is.
There's one company that's just very, very terrific pricing.
Well, thanks, Dean. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Bye now.
Directly on to our next caller. Hi there. You're on the air with Soundbites.
Well, hi. This is Lance.
Hi, Lance.
A teacher friend of mine was given a computer that says Universal Computer Inc. or something like that. Interestingly enough, it has two hard drives. When I first tried to boot it up, it gave me a hardware error, which eventually I found was due to the fact that it had only a monochrome monitor. But in the meantime, I discovered their little setup program screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the diskette A is set all right, and I think B maybe too. But then there are two fixed disks, and one of them I think is okay with the setup 1, which is the minimum, what, the 625 cylinders?
Yeah, it's 6 is for a 10 meg hard drive.
Yeah. The other one, I don't know what it is, and drive D, and I have not had time to do much experimenting with it. There are about 20 or 30 of those set up combinations.
What you're going to need to know, though, is this is an older computer.
What's that?
It's an older computer?
Yes.
Okay, therein lies your challenge.
Yeah.
You literally have to start at number one and work your way on through, unless you have a vague idea of what size the hard drive is. There are some tables just from manufacturer to manufacturer. Their tables were not uniform.
Uh-huh.
Let me suggest, can you tell what kind of drive it is? Does it have a label on it, the manufacturer or the model number?
Well, not on the outside. I'd have to open up the case.
If you have a model number and a manufacturer, there is a little book called the Pocket PC Reference Book.
Oh.
By Thomas Glover and Millie M. Young. It's $15. It includes an incredible amount of stuff, including drive tables for about 7 billion different types of hard drives from different manufacturers.
Oh, very nice.
So you simply find the manufacturer, find the drive designation, then it'll tell you the size in megabytes, the heads, the cylinders, the sectors, the track, all the stuff you need to put in.
Now, is that being listed? When you pick a type 1, does it tell you how many cylinders, heads, and sectors?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then you're all set. Now, like Nick said, that book will do you.
Pick up the book, and then all you have to do is cycle through it until you find the one that matches. And if it doesn't, there's usually a type 47, which is where you type the stuff in by hand.
Well, that particular one is so old that it doesn't go up to 47.
Yeah, probably 47.
Well, but there'll be some sort of number that
yeah, my ASD is goes up to 47.
But that's how you need to do it.
I see. Well, the book then would shorten that process, I gather.
Oh, by a lot.
Yeah, what was the name of it again?
It's called the Pocket PC Reference, or Pocket PC Ref, actually.
Pocket PC Reference.
Yeah, if you can't locate it, give us a call. because we can look it up for you if you get the spec numbers out.
Yeah, but that person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you. All right, on to our next caller here at 263-WXXI. Hi there, you're on the air with Soundbites.
Hi, I'm Joe in Barrington.
Hi, Joe.
And the power I have is running Windows and running the latest versions of all the Microsoft software. And out of nowhere, I can't find all of my fonts in some of the applications. For instance, in Excel and Access, I have access to all the fonts I have installed on my system. In Word for Windows and PowerPoint, I only get my printer fonts. Went to the control panel, made sure that enabled the TrueType fonts was on, and it is. Tried turning it off and on, and still have the same problem. Any suggestions on where to look next?
The only other thing I can suggest is that you look, is this the latest version of Word?
Yeah, it's Word 6, Excel 5, PowerPoint 4, and Access 2.
Okay, then what you want to do is go in, see under Word, and I believe also under PowerPoint, they do some very funky things in the printer configuration. There is a whole section of setups that you can go to, and they override the setups that are based into the system. See, Microsoft set up a standard way to do things and then didn't do it that way in their own software. So what you need to do is go into the options, which I believe in Word for Windows are under Tools.
Yep. 6.0,
I think.
I've been there. Okay, yeah. I keep talking.
And then as you go far enough down the list, you'll find that the print setup actually allows you to go into setting up the printer and make sure that it's set through there. That's the only thing I can suggest, unless you want to reinstall the printer driver.
Just reinstall the printer driver. I've actually tried reinstalling the software.
No, reinstall the printer driver. Erase it completely off the system.
Right.
Through the control panel.
Yeah.
And then reinstall it again off your original floppy.
Okay.
Try that first.
Is there any editing in any, you know, any files I can go look at? I looked at the system mini and found that, you know, TrueType was enabled.
Yeah.
Enable equals one.
I've not really searched through the any files for WinWord, so
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, you can't even fully open it.
Right. So I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
I have run into problems in the past with older versions of Microsoft products where they would limit the number of fonts in the menu.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, you know, 20 or 30. So, you know, you get that Corel CD and install all 700 fonts.
Yeah, right.
Choke your system. Right. Bring it to your knees.
But I don't think they do that anymore, particularly from the ribbon bar you can pull down and you get a scroll bar, so that should
be. One thing, you know, if I've had a couple folks, you know, because we've been touting about this pocket reference. If anybody else finds a place that they've got quite a few, let us know, because a couple of folks have called me and said, well, you know, you said go find this book, and they've been trying to find it, and it's been hard to find.
It is hard to find. I know they have it at the RIT bookstore.
Most any of the bookstores will order it for you. They can look it up on their computer and order it.
Right. Well, let's go right on to our next call here on Soundbites. Hi there. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, it's Victoria from Rochester.
Hello, Victoria.
I'm calling to make a comment on the gentleman that just called a little while ago about the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If I understood correctly, he said that basically if you buy through an agent, it's $1,500 for 6 months or $3,000 a year, and if you buy through this other company, it's $300 a year.
Yeah.
So that's one-tenth of what it's get through an agent.
Yeah. I wonder if that means the agent is keeping the other 90%.
yeah, right.
Let's not fork off another group of people today. I think we're really working right down the line, you know. So let's not fork off another group.
Anyway.
Go ahead, Victoria.
That's a very big difference.
Yeah, it is.
And that makes me ask some questions. I would be very careful about this company. I would investigate them very thoroughly. I've never heard of them. I know nothing about them. Yeah, they make me just fine.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably
it
is.
It usually is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a great price, but if they're not around when the time comes that you're sued to pay off or to defend you in the suit, then it doesn't matter how cheap they were. They weren't much of a deal.
Or it could be welcome to New York State and higher taxes.
Right. Now, I will admit that I know Dean very well, and I know he's not an overly gullible person, but you're absolutely right. You should always check out something that's too good to be true.
I go to the library and look, and I don't know if AA Best would rate those. AA Best rates insurance companies. I don't know if that's the kind of company they would rate, but one can check in that source, and there's other sources that do rate insurance companies a around the country and will give you records, but I'd look into it real carefully.
I'd also call the Better Business Bureau.
I don't know that they necessarily, in Rochester, would necessarily know unless it's been, you know, the thing with the Better Business Bureau, there has to have been complaints here.
Right.
And you know, that's not necessarily going to be at this point. So I would look to the library and an AA Best or something like that. I would check them out. Or since they're based in Michigan, I might write to the Michigan Department of Insurance and see if there's any complaints or calls.
Excellent advice, Victoria. Thank you very much.
Okay.
One thing that's interesting is on the licensing agreements and the outside of the shrink wrap boxes when you buy software, there's always a little clause about that we don't guarantee this will do anything, and if it damages all your stuff, too bad.
Right.
So basically, you just have to write that into your maintenance contract that anybody signs before you do something.
Okay.
I'll do my best, but if anything goes wrong,
too bad.
Sorry.
Okay, don't forget, you can reach us online at Max Last Stand, 346-5555, on America Online at Apple Cider, through the internet at AppleCider at AOL.com, or, of course, voice at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And, Steve, would you like to talk about the Users Club meeting before we get to our next talk?
Both of the Apple Users Groups are meeting this week, in addition to the computer show. Apple Cider will be meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the East High School Forum Room. We're going to be talking about little utilities that make life much more easier and sometimes quite pleasant. And then on Tuesday is the Club Mac meeting. And then
Club Mac will be meeting at 7:30. It's going to be at the Apollo School up on, I think it's Maiden Lane.
Maiden and Mulberry, next to the new tops they just put in.
I think the focus for the Club Mac meeting is going to be focused on family and education and edutainment. Yeah, it should be an interesting meeting coming up.
And, of course, Frog and PC Cube, they're meeting at the
Convention Center on the 26th.
Click and Double Click will be there for that. Click and Double Click will also be at the Theater Arts Playhouse on Wednesday night for a little preview on the 12th. So come on down and join us. Let's get right back to the phones here at 263-WXXI. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jerry Adler from Jerry from downtown Clarkson.
Hi, in Clarkson.
Wow.
You have a big aerial down there. What can we do for you, Jay?
I have an IBM XT with a color monitor now that I'm basically using just for word processing for an auction we do.
Mm-hmm.
And at an auction we went to, I bought a Leading Edge, and it's a Model D. And I was wondering how I can tell if that has a 386 processor.
Easiest way is to pop the top and look at the chip itself. It will tell you right on the chip. It's printed on there.
Okay, I did that, and I don't see anything that says anything like that. It says Daewoo.
Oh, it's a Daewoo? Okay. The other thing you can do is run a program called MS. Do you have Windows?
No.
No, I think that Leading Edge D is a 286 machine.
Well, MSD comes with DOS 6 also. A newer version came with Windows, but it also came with DOS.
You have DOS 6?
No, I have DOS 3.3.
Okay. I'm almost sure that it's not a 386, as Dave says.
It doesn't say anything when it boots up, Leading Edge 286 or 386.
No, it doesn't.
Have you pulled the cover off and looked around?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd almost bank on this. That is a 286 machine.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. Here's an update from Victoria. She says a disclaimer does not protect you if they want to sue. That's absolutely true. We are a litigious society, and disclaimers will not help. On to our next call here on Soundboys. Hi there, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. My name is Chet from Webster.
Chet, what can we do you for?
I just tuned in, so you may have already addressed it. I access the internet currently through America Online or CompuServe, and it's very easy to run up a pretty stiff tab. Is there, for example, CompuServe just introduced a news group thing, but yet they chart, you know, how you could conceivably get dozens and dozens of pieces of mail in your box every day. Then they charge you 15 cents for every incoming internet message.
Well, you'd be astounded to know that there's a much less expensive alternative. Dan, take it away.
We just started our internet connectivity on Max Last Dan, and we're starting with an experiment of about a dozen of the most popular news groups or news nets. And if you check on with Max Last Dan, there's no charge to get into the system. If you make a small donation of just under $3 a month, you can have access to internet through all of your email, as well as through the news groups. And if there's a particular news group that's popular and gets enough activity, we'll pull it down for you. What we're trying to do is, since it seems to be so expensive to get into the net, is we're going to try and bring the net to you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have to say that there are also other groups that, other BBSs that do have some internet news group access, and you should just check around. Frogpine is going to get them very shortly.
And
as soon as I get the new software running.
And I think Paul's planning on that for PC Cube also.
Yeah.
Has Frog been up recently?
It's been up. The problem is, in testing the new software, I destroyed my entire user database, and the backup didn't work. I'm very embarrassed to say this. At least I had a backup.
I heard from a couple of people that were trying to log in and couldn't.
Yeah, you have to log in to the non-member line again. And two or three times a day, I'm checking the database to see who's logged in that is in the. Luckily, I have a paper copy, so I can go back in and upgrade your status. So please do that. The new software is not as stable as I had hoped, and so that's part of the problem.
Tell me about this MaxLastN. How do I access it?
Dial 346-5555 with your modem, set it for 8N and 1, and whatever speed you got, we'll be able to handle because we're doing 28.8 on all 12 modems into the system.
346-5555.
Yeah, also, if you happen to be long distance, one of the few exchanges in Rochester, like if you're in the Pittsburgh or East Rochester area, we have some local numbers for you. If you got a pencil, I'll shout them out real quick.
Yeah.
247-9056, 9061, 9063. And the last is 247-9148.
Still haven't got that rollover problem fixed?
No, Rochester Tell decided that hunting and seeking don't go well when they have to hunt and seek with another group, and it got a little deep for me. So basically, if one line's busy, try the other one.
Where are you located?
We're located in Livonia, New York.
Livonia.
Which is local to a majority of Rochester.
Mm-hmm. One more question. I'm going to buy a new computer, and regarding the question of RAM, how much? I've heard that beyond maybe 8 megabytes, sort of diminishing returns type thing. Is that true?
Well, it depends on the kind of system that you're using. The way RAM is allocated in a Mac and a PC is a little bit different. Like 8 megs on a Mac is different than 8 megs on a PC. If you're running a Mac and you're running a basic system 7 or 7.1, 8 megs of RAM for basically what you're doing, simple computing, I'm sure that's fine. If you go to system 7.5, you're going to need a whole lot more than that.
It also depends on what you want to use it for. If you're going to get into something like digital editing of photographs and like Photoshop, then 100 megs is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely true. And on the PC side, it's up to 16 meg is all that the system will hold right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's Windows won't actually look at anymore. OS 2 will look at however much you have.
Mm-hmm.
And NT will, and I'm sure that Windows 95 will.
Yeah, I think the PowerMac 8100 is currently the max on the Mac, and it will do 264 megs of RAM.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're running system 7.5, you better have at least speedway.
At least 8. 16 is better.
Yeah. 16.
Which is interesting because 16 is the next smallest increase from 8.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Chet.
Are you doing your play still?
Absolutely. We are doing our show for another couple of weeks. That's 383-9060 for tickets at $8 a piece. You'll love it. It's a very funny show.
9060?
You got it.
Thanks.
Bye. On to our next call. I wonder what that was all about. That's not right. On to our next call here.
Hi there. I'm thinking about buying a new PC. What are the considerations for Windows 95?
It'll take all the memory you can have. They are saying 4 meg minimum, I doubt it. I would say 8 meg minimum. 16 meg would be better. A 486, definitely. The highest resolution graphics card you can get. Faster, bigger, better. And you want at least a 250 meg hard drive, and I would say half a gig would be better.
I was going to say, right now, the way the prices of hard drives are dropping, I mean, you can get 1 gig for $500.
Yeah, they've got the new Egghead Flyer, and then they've got a 1 gig for, was it, $550?
Yeah, except Deborah says she can't get them.
Because everybody wants them.
Yeah, right.
How about the speed? How about the megahertz?
The faster, the better. 50 megahertz, I would say, is a minimum. 66 is better.
Yeah, 66.
Yeah.
Because the price difference right now between a 66 and a 33 is maybe $30.
Figure out the fastest system you can get and then squeeze a little more.
Okay. Now, is it true that existing software in the current Windows environment will not run on an iPhone?
Nobody knows that. They say it will.
Okay.
But we haven't seen it. But the theory is that it will. Yes, you won't squeeze all of the capabilities out of it, but it should work.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Dave, real quick, you've got something to say?
Yeah, we just want to reiterate that if folks want to pick up tickets for the computer show, they can stop down here at the studio. Aster, right after the show, we wind up here. We'll be taking your call. So if you call up 263-9994 and call in and give her your name and number. We can have some tickets set aside for you to get into the computer show. Also, Movie Mania, the Gem Lab, and Acra Tech have tickets available.
For people calling in, wait until the next show starts. Wait until you hear the startup of the next show, because Esther's got to read the news and do the weather and all that stuff. So she's not going to have a lot of time to answer the phone in the 2 minutes before the next show starts. Let's get right on to the next call. Hi there, you're on the air with Soundbite.
Yes, this is Dan from Rochester, and earlier you said, gave what you put in your auto exec bad if you want to run 3.11 Windows faster so to ignore the network card.
Yeah.
It was win blank.
Space forward slash N.
N, okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sure. And let's go right on to our next call. Hi there, you're on the air with Soundbite.
Hi, Lance again with a quick for Nick.
Yeah.
I tried to log on to CellPond half a dozen times yesterday. Sometimes it wouldn't even take my name, and I never did get beyond my date of birth because there's so doggone much line noise.
Yeah, there has been a lot of line noise. You're the third person who's mentioned that. I'm going to have to call the phone company on Monday and find out what they're doing to my system, because there's been no change.
They're doing it to the whole city. I have found more folks that were running modems and everything else having no problem, and it seems to be rampant all over the city that folks are all of a sudden getting clean, line noise was on a clean line.
One of the things I set up when I moved the board down to Livonia is we had all of our lines reconditioned. We had to pay a little bit extra to have that done. But they polled each line at the phone company, they conditioned the lines, and I seem to get pretty quick reception into the board.
I got good results on CompuServe line, but not on Cross.
Hmm. It also happens to depend on how many other calls are going through the network at that time and how busy the exchanges are.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Well, that appears to be it for another Soundbite. We want to thank Steve and Dave and Dan and, of course, Esther, who is always capable in keeping us on track. Thank you for another week of Soundbites. We will see you next week. This is Nick Francesco signing off.